listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host with the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this next episode. My head is spinning for our next guest. One of my favorite people on the planet. She was my ear training teacher in college. She's a wonderful composer. We're going to talk about a new show that she's a part of, Miss Veronica Krausis. How are you, Veronica?
Nikki, you have something spinning behind your head, literally.
I know. That's why I said my head is spinning for my next
guest.
It's like, oh, I'm about to take off. How are you, Veronica?
You know, good. Overall good. This year is way better than last year. We're the year of the fire horse or something. So I think everything
maybe
feels like it's zooming away. And and of course it's the week before my show, the week of our show actually. So everything's zooming like what's spinning above your head.
Well, what's funny is like this, people don't understand the week of a show and usually days before is probably the most hectic, chaotic, the most like calamities in one week that you can imagine. The things that you don't want to go wrong and you have to find solutions. Tell us a little bit about like what that process is like, because I know that it's never ending and it's like one of the most chaotic parts of the process.
Yeah, well, should I start and say what the show is first?
Yeah, let's talk about the show.
So the show is called My Birthday Party, and it's not my birthday. My birthday happened already. Just FYI, a few people.
Happy birthday!
Yeah, it's a multi sort of disciplinary show. It's got acrobats, it's got live music, and it has theater, and it has storytelling, and it's based basically around the idea you are invited to the best birthday party ever. And we have stories by Carl Sandburg, and we have a story by Viggo Mortensen about a polar bear and a drunk
amazing.
Polar. It's super cool. And so it's this really, it's partly interactive if you want. One of the characters, the main MC, his name is Simon, as in Simon Says. And yes, there is a game of Simon Says that happens during it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this makes it sound like it's a little bit of a kids show. It's not. It's for adults. I mean, kids are welcome, but it's for.
Hey, adults can play Simon Says too. It should never have stopped.
Oh. It's great, and I'm getting better at it, let me tell you. So the week before a production is always hectic because it's even things like, oh, is there enough toilet paper in the bathrooms at the venue? I mean, it's stuff like that.
Right.
Minute, oh, we have to cut the choreography here, so we have to change the music. Oh, what are our costumes? Oh, that costume is not going to work. Oh, we forgot about programs. Oh, we forgot, you know. So it just is everything at the last minute, even though I tend to be a bit of a pre-planner.
Well, you know, the funny thing about putting something on like this is like you could plan until the cows come home, but there's something that's going to pop up. It's like whack-a-mole. It's like, oh, yeah, I figured everything out. And then it's like, oh, no, you didn't. You forgot that this one light doesn't shine in the right way on a very important part of a scene. So it's like, okay, how do we fix this? Do we need to change whatever it is, the filter, whatever it is? So I know that this probably took a lot out of you this week, but tell me, did you write the music before? Did you tell me what that process was like?
Actually it's our group. Bianca Cepeto is a former Cirque du Soleil acrobat and choreographer, and Daniel Passer, again, former Cirque. He was a clown and he's head of the theater department up at CalArts. And we've been
Is he the same guy I saw? I saw two acrobats do something with you on a show like 10 years ago. Is it the same person? That's awesome.
Yeah, Daniel's not the acrobat, but he's a mean guy, let me tell you. We've been working together for 20 or 30 years, and we did this show 20 years ago. And we thought, wow, we want to remount it. And we finally made our union legitimate. Let's say we're a company now, we're called Sprung Entertainment. So we are remounting the show and it's gussied up and we've, you know, fixed some of the music. We fixed some of the theatrical bits and stuff. And we're doing it at a club called Fado Do, which is an old jazz club, really old jazz club on West Adams that sort of ran into decay for a little bit. And the owner,
yeah,
Steve Yablok, wonderful man, he is renovating. So he's in the process of renovating. It's a super cool space. I did my opera there, my first opera there, maybe 10, 15 years ago. And
I played there a couple times. That place is like historic beyond. I think it used to be an old burlesque theater or like an old speakeasy at some point because it has that vibe. I remember there's some history to it like that.
Exactly. So it's sort of, you know, the everyone who knows jazz in the city and all that, they go, oh, Fado Do. And so they have a one on the corner and then there's the larger warehouse space beside, which is where we're doing the show. And yeah, it'll be fun.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, Fado Do means, you know, go to sleep. So if you say to a child in French, Fé means, you know, make, and Dodo would mean like go to sleep. So Fado Do, go to sleep, my little one. Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's a weird name for a club that where you want people to not be asleep.
I guess so, unless they want you to stay late and they have beds. I don't know. We don't.
Well, how did you figure out what was going to work for the venue? Did you find the venue first and then kind of like cater the show around the venue? That must have been a part of the process.
Well, we've been doing many shows there over the years, so we were really thrilled when Steve you know offered us to be the first sort of big act to open up the new space, even though it's not quite new yet because of city permits and timing and all of those wonderful things. If anyone's had to wait for city permits to put in toilets and whatnot, they know. So we envisioned and re-choreographed the show based on the wonderful space that we have there.
And is it basically like vignettes of these stories all connected to each other, or is it like they're just a bunch of stories?
Everything is interconnected, and we have,
oh, that's cool.
We have characters from Carl Sandburg, who's an American writer, and he's got stories. The main narrator is the potato-faced blind man, and Miguel Perez, a wonderful actor in town, is playing him. And the stories are Blixie Bimber, you know, flipped out of the kitchen, and then they talk about Slipfoot, this man who gets $1 million and then his foot slips. And another one, our final piece is The Blue Wind Boy and The White Horse Girl. And it's a love story between these two. And that's really the big acrobatic number. And
that's cool.
Yeah. And the story by Viggo Mortensen is about a polar bear who sees a drunk woman who's run away from her husband in Vegas, stumbling through the Arctic. And they have a little moment and they do a little dance and, you know, she wanders off again. But the polar bear sort of became a central character who shows up throughout the whole show and he pops up and scares people. And at one point he does a, you know, a monologue about, you know, I wasn't always a polar bear and stuff. So it's hard to describe, but it's just a really feel-good show. And one of the things right now, it feels the world is so chaotic and everything is so dire and horrible things are just happening internationally in our country, etc., that this show is not that. It's all about fun and imagination and creativity and celebrating life and celebrating those you love and stuff like that.
Well, what's really cool about that is like, when things like this happen, it's almost like a call on artists to kind of like give some normalcy to people, have a sense of escapism for ourselves and for the world and for our communities. And it starts there. And I think the world and our communities need it now more than ever with everything you said. So I think it's amazing that you did this. How many people are in the ensemble total? Is it two or is it like two plus people coming in and out?
We have 11 in the ensemble. We have five instrumental musicians in the orchestra. And then we have a choir, which on opening night is going to be about 15 people. And then it varies the rest of the run. So it's quite a large undertaking, kind of snowballed, but, you know, sort of like.
Are you conducting the orchestra too?
Yeah, I am.
Wow, that must be fun.
Do you
love it, or does it add more stress because conducting is stressful?
It's fine. It's fun. I mean, I've got such great musicians that if I start slowing down, they just look at me askew and then I speed back up.
So, they hold you accountable. They're like, wait a minute.
We've got some amazing musicians. We've got the ensemble is a little bit odd. It's we have a cello. Which is being played by Dylan Tyree. He's a composer and a cellist. And then we have two classical guitars, actually. The original ensemble was two classical guitars. And our clarinet / bass clarinetist is Brian Walsh, who's like the king of all clarinetists in the world. And our violinist is this wonderful violinist, Anna Renton, who, in fact, believe it or not, Nikki, was my student a million years ago.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's great. Get people who I've had as students who are just spectacular, and I corral them into all of my shenanigans, sort of like you, you know.
Well, you know, you're a great teacher, and it's like you have an impact on all of us, so it's like it totally makes sense. I wanted to ask you, like, when you were composing the music, did you have an idea of the storyline, or did the storyline kind of align with some of the compositions?
I think it was a bit of a joint effort, let's say. We sort of did a script years ago. It was interesting because Daniel and Bianca and I would meet every Friday for lunch, and over the course of a couple months came up with a script that was my birthday party.
Wow.
And we would eat lunch, and I think over the course of 3 months, we drank one bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label. Someone had given him it as a gift. So every day we'd have just a little bit to celebrate, you know? It was a weird thing. Anyway,
that's,
I don't know.
Fuel for the fire.
Yeah. And then we, the music sort of evolved around the sort of set pieces. And then there are some interstitial connecting, linking businesses. And there's some music in there that's not mine, like the Potato Face Blind Man's going to sing a song about a dancing polar bear. And our main MC is in love with the White Horse Girl, who, of course, doesn't care for him and cares for the Blue Wind Boy, who's this amazing acrobat, Marlon. And he sings this, he writes a song that doesn't rhyme, and it's really sweet. And we're going to have Robert Wang is one of our guitarists. He's bringing in a theorbo to play for that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so if no one knows what a theorbo is, it's this sort of Renaissance instrument that looks like this really huge guitar on steroids. So I thought for something that, you know, a love song that doesn't rhyme, and a theorbo would make a great visual.
Not many people would put those two things together. How can I make this peculiar and cool and romantic all at the same time, you know? Are you filming this? Is that something that is not really possible with a show like this? I only ask because, you know, we live in these times where it's like social media heavy, and it's like there's a good thing about not being able to film something because you have to be there to be present and see it. There's also a side where it's like, oh, you can reach people across the world by having footage of this. Is there a plan to film it, or is the real plan like you should have an experience because you're there?
Yeah, well, one, it is the experience, but I think there's some documentation being done by a PR company on Thursday at the dress rehearsal, and we are doing an actual filming of the whole thing on Friday. We have a really great videographer who's going to make a big thingy about it. I'm not quite sure of the details on that. That's not on my to-do list.
Well, let me ask you, what's been the most stressful detail of this for you?
We've just had a whole bunch of obstacles that keep popping up that sort of various people and family tragedies and things that I won't get into. But just, you know, if you could think of the worst possible timing for things to happen, it's sort of, that's what we've been plagued with. But regardless, I think the project just sort of is moving on, and it was meant to be. I mean, there's just no way to stop it. It's like sort of a baby being born, I guess, you know, that's it.
That's exciting.
Wait a minute, you know?
Well, so, and it's like, sometimes I find that sometimes art is the therapy that the people that are going through these terrible things need the most. It's like, we forget like that art is one of the things that kind of pulls us together. It keeps us together in those, you know, fragile times. So I hope that everybody's okay, but the show must go on. And I love that that spirit is still a part of it. What has been one of the most joyful things that you've experienced just going through the rehearsals or the process?
I love the people we've got involved in this. It's such a mixed bag of crazy misfits and hooligans, let's say, but they're all just amazing. So, you know, when you find, when the choreographer was talking about, I think we found our tribe. When you work with people who just love what they're doing, and nobody is doing this for the money because it's, you right. know, piddly. They're doing it for the joy of creating. And, you know, something you just said, I was thinking about before we got on air was, you know, what is music about? And I thought, you know, it, for me, music's about storytelling. I mean, when you write a song, isn't it about storytelling?
Yes, always. And it's like, one of the things that I love about it is, I think songwriters or composers too, we have a tremendous amount of empathy because you actually are telling a story from a perspective that may not be your own. So it's either you're telling a story from your own perspective and giving yourself some of that empathy, or you're empathizing with another subject that's going through a story, and you get into the that person's, you know, bones and tell the story from their perspective. So that's one of the things I actually love the most, because it allows you to travel without traveling. You know, it's like you're yeah. telling a story and you're traveling without traveling.
The thing about that too is, you know, we think about stories that they have to be some kind of linear narrative, and it doesn't have to be that, because sometimes I'm just thinking about, you know, I write an orchestra piece. How linear is that? Not really. Well, in my mind it is, but in other people's it isn't. So it's about that sort of abstract idea of creating forms or ideas or something yeah. to help people along a sort of a timeline, possibly, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing that I think is kind of amazing about art, because you're organizing a little bit of chaos. You're organizing yeah. like the chaos of creativity in such a linear way, like you said, that it becomes accessible. And even if it's like slightly a bit not accessible, that's okay, because it pushes the limits of storytelling. It pushes the limits of creativity. And that is what audiences sometimes really respond to the most, because it's like nothing they've ever experienced. Yeah. So I think it sounds like your show is already doing that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not about the creativity. I mean, it is the creativity for us who make it, but also for the audience who listens to it, or that consumer who's going to read that book or go to that movie or see yes. that creative thing, or even go to a museum and see a painting. It opens in their mind that ability to be creative again. And I think a lot of times we think about being childlike. You know, we play. Yeah. Our website is called Play with Sprung, because we love playing, and that idea of what does play mean? Playing means, you know, maybe accessing our inner child. I hate that word, but anyway.
No, that's absolutely true. You know,
and be able to have joy about anything around you, whether it be that car that's going way too slow in front of you to get home in time for a radio right. show. Or it's a beautiful tree, or it's your cute dogs, you know, that they inspire.
Things. I got one. He didn't want to be outside for the interview. He's laying right behind me.
Is he snoring?
He's not snoring. Rufus is a snorer. He snores sometimes, but not during the day. For some reason, he gets it together during the day. But what I wanted to ask you too, and I know you feel this, whenever I compose a song and I have players playing the song, one of the thrills is it's your imagination and it's your story being told by these incredibly, terrifically talented players or musicians, etc., that are realizing the parts and becoming the parts in a way that may exceed your expectations. How is that feeling for you when you're conducting? Are you present in that moment, or do you kind of have that moment after it's all finished, like, wow, this is just tremendous that it is unfolding like this, or it has unfolded?
I I'm usually not the conductor, so I would experience something just sort of as an audience member usually when I write something. And then it's incredibly humbling, and sometimes it's slightly shocking, and depending on the timing of things, like for a premiere, everything has been so much that it takes a while to process. When I'm conducting, I think I'm a little more concerned with counting. So when you see other people's reactions that, oh, the music was beautiful, and I'll remember, oh yeah, it's music. It's not just about getting the beats in the right spot. So right. It's humbling. And when you've got really great musicians like we have this time, it's just, I'm so thrilled and thankful that they all are, you know, one agreed to participate, and that they just make my music sound better.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, it's exceeding your expectations in those moments when players interpret your parts. You have an expectation that you want it to meet, but then there's something that a player brings. They bring their creativity to the notes. They bring it, they give it life, they give it energy in a way that you may have not expected any of it, you know, like to sound a certain way, or, you know, it may give you new ideas in the moment for dynamics. Like, tell me, like, as you were doing rehearsals, did anything shift? Were you like, oh, I want to change this? Oh, I love where people are going in this part of the orchestra. Let's lean into that. Well, what were those moments for you?
In this particular case, I was dealing with choreography. So that it's the logistical thing of, oh, we need more here, we need less here. So it was a little cut and paste, but there were moments where, oh, we have such a great cellist, or, oh, we have such a good clarinetist, so that I actually wrote in bits for them that could emerge out of the texture to showcase them.
Would you consider that a rubato? Would that be kind of a little... Yeah, there's got to be a little improvisation, something like that in that moment, right? Or are you kind of like composing something together in that moment?
Well, most of it, the stuff I did is pre-composed. It's pretty strict. There is one piece that Brian Walsh, the clarinetist, is playing on bass clarinet, and it's the story of Slipfoot. So the acrobat is running, Slipfoot keeps tripping. So every time he trips, there has to be a musical cue. So the clarinet is following him, whether he's on the ground, wow, the rope, or on the trapeze, you know, that when he slips, there's a response. So luckily he's an amazing performer. So he's sort of taking the idea, the notes and the gesture that I have for him, and improvising on it a little, and, you know, coordinating that with the acrobat.
That's awesome. And I love that you incorporated acrobats in a lot of your pieces. How did that love kind of come about? Is it your Canadian roots? Is it just the fact that you love something visual to be matched with the music? Like, where does that come from, where you're like, I want this to be realized through these players visually?
Someone asked me that years ago, and the answer I gave, they started asking, you know, what did you do as a child and things like that? And I remember as a kid, you play with your friends, and we would create plays, and I would be sort of this mini producer, and okay, we're going to make paper shoes, and then you have to enter here, and we have to do that. So I think it started there, and then that with composition and music, the melding of all the arts, although we don't have paper shoes in this production, but that idea.
Maybe something to bring back.
Yeah. I love pure sort of just straight ahead music, but that integration with the visual and the acting and all of that and acrobats is just so great. When I moved to LA, I was looking for a dancer to work with. And it just so happened that Cirque du Soleil was touring in Venice, and one of my good friends from Montreal was in the crew, and they were in Santa Monica for many months, and I formed very good friendships with many of them. And then when they quit Cirque, that's when we started working together on projects, whether it be at weird locations, or I know that they've gone on to do things at Burning Man and other events and things. So I think it was just one, searching for it, but also being in the right place at the right time and having friends who were in Cirque at the time. And then we all were in LA at the same time without full-time jobs elsewhere. So that's how, you know, serendipity.
Well, it's also like in the Cirque shows, music, and this is what I love about the Cirque shows, music plays such an important role. Yeah. It is like, and I love that they're now like, in like in embracing like rock and roll music and like, wow, you know, Elvis and Beatle music and like themed Michael Jackson music. But also I've seen their shows since I was a kid. I've seen their very first tour and just remember music being such an important and integral character of the show. So mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like a perfect marriage between composer and acrobat, because it's like you're both realizing the story together. And I'm sure you both push each other's boundaries a little bit because you know what each of you is capable of, and that it, you're now writing or dancing for the music, or the music's kind of, you know, creating itself for the dancer. Mm-hmm. That's got to be kind of like a perfect marriage. Was there any tug of war, like, hey, we need this, and you're like, I don't know if that needs it there, or was it just complete harmony? And you just knew what, you kind of know how everybody works together.
I think we've been working together for so long that when things don't quite work, we work around it. There's only one little moment where the director had a suggestion for something that happens. And I thought, I don't like that. And then when I got into the space, I said, I'm not doing that because it's not going to work. But he didn't have pushback. He said, okay, because what I did works.
Oh, that's amazing. This sounds like it's so fun and kind of like a mini circus.
Mini has nothing to do with it. This is the Maximus, crazy, chaotic, bloody circus shenanigan, fantastical extravaganza. I can't, my thesaurus is pouring out of my mouth. Mini is
Miles wants to say hello.
Look at that.
He wants to know if you were snoring. All right. That's enough.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's one of the things about art that is so fascinating, is when you can work with people through the obstacles. I think the obstacles actually tell you how well you work together, because, you know, it's easy when everything's working and everybody's gelling. That's easy. But it's like when you hit walls of like, oh my God, this is what this is what we're dealing with. That's when you know, can we work together long term? Obviously, you guys have been friends for a long time. Are you influenced by the same composers or shows, or is it so varied that's what makes it kind of work?
We're so varied, which makes it really great, because, you know, if there's something I think, well, I need a musical thing that does this, and it's just not in my wheelhouse, or I can't think of something, you know, someone else will know, because everyone we work with is so fascinated with art and creativity and music and reading and books and stories. So we kind of balance each other out really well. And the Venn diagram definitely has a big crossover, but right. You know, our expertise we're not siloed in our own positions, let's say.
Well, have you ever had a moment, especially with the acrobats, I'm sure, where you're kind of blown away that they're able to do the things? Because like that always fascinates me. I had a Cirque dancer who was the lead in one of my music videos, and like it wasn't the things he was doing necessarily in the shoot that were unbelievable, which it was, but it was like he would just get up and climb a rope with no legs and then like flip around just like on break. So like you had to notice certain things that they were doing either in rehearsal for the performance or just to like unwind. Were there any moments where you were just blown away by the things they were doing?
Yes, always. I mean, I'm blown away by what they do. I'm blown away by what my musicians do. But I'll tell you a funny story. Years and years ago, we did a show and we had someone narrating. And they were not used to working with acrobats. So during the act, they were narrating during the music and the acrobat in front of them, who happened to be Bianca. And she was doing this really crazy, weird thing where she went into a headstand and looked like she, anyway, it was all sorts of contortions and contraptions and things. And the narrator was so taken in with what she was doing, he forgot all the lines.
That's awesome. They're just they become part of the audience.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't watch them because it's, he got back on and he was fine, but it was, yeah, they're pretty impressive. I think it's whenever you see someone who's really amazing at what they do, whether it be, storytelling or acrobatics or music, you have to pause and take it in. It's like, when you're playing guitar, when you're on stage, it's quite a performance, Nikki.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But it's also... It's like habits or technique that I'm not paying attention to in the same way with an acrobat. That to them is normal. Like, oh yeah, this is just what I do. That's what I think is fascinating too. It's like, it's such a cool marriage when you can take something visual with something that's oral, to quote our class that we had together, and kind of combine them to be a collaboration. But it's like, there are such different lanes, like when you're writing music, I'm sure the acrobats would look at you and say, this is crazy that you can do this. But you're looking at them like, this is crazy that you're doing a handstand and just walking across the room like it's nothing. And I love that you said, oh yeah, this person wasn't used to acrobats. Who's used to acrobats? Like that's just not a normal thing. But you're like, I am used to acrobats, apparently. Yeah. Do you find it like kind of somewhat stressful when you watch some of the things they do, because some of it is just weird contortions or weird balance things? Like, I always get a little uneasy because it's so different than anything that I just normally do. Are you past that because you see it all the time?
Yeah, I'm not nervous, but it's always awe-inspiring, that, wow, they can go upside down and then, take the fabric and hold their arms straight like this. And they're, whistling Dixie sort of thing. It's amazing. But, the handstand, I can do a handstand. Can you do a handstand?
I can't do, I don't think I've done a handstand since I was like 11. I don't know if I could do a handstand now, but I mean, the thing is, I'm like I have friends that are like silk aerialists or like acrobats. And it is something that is so fascinating to me because it's so physical. It's like, I saw there was a girl, she's a friend of mine, and she was in Cirque for a while. And I remember she posted this video of just her with a ball, and she picked up the ball with her foot. And she kind of juggled it on her foot, and then she spun it up her leg, and it went up her arm, and she started juggling, just with one arm, adding another one. She started juggling, and then she started kind of like twisting it up in the air and then doing like a little somersault and catching. And it's like, this is just, it's such a level of creation physically that I think that's the marvel of the spectacle. It's like, man, and especially as I get older, I'm like, oh my God, I dropped my keys. And I'm like, oh, that hurts my back. People doing these things, it's kind of remarkable that they're still able to be so limber and still able to just like be so fluid. Do you kind of cater the music to their movements, knowing what they're going to do? And so that facilitates some of the things you can create musically to kind of like be the soundtrack for some of the things they're doing.
Yeah. So I guess it depends on what, again, back to that term story, what's the story? Is the story about a love story? So are you going to have a like,
right, right. Yeah.
But the moment in the piece where you do have that is, you do have that. So it kind of, I guess it's not quite, film scoring, because what it is the pieces, many of the pieces that I've written are actual works that things aren't coordinated exactly. I mean, there might be moments that hit, but it's sort of the,
because
the,
you wrote it independently of the show.
Some of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And now I know that this is a question that I think I know the answer to. Are there any weird time signatures? I assume there are. There must be. I know you. So I want to ask, what are the time signatures that I should be aware of? Because I want to start counting in moments to catch them, throw some of the time signatures at me that you're using that you know.
Oh, I know there's a 7-8 in there.
I love that.
They're not that weird, Nikki. I mean, you're making me sound like I'm weird, Conlon. And
no, I love that. I just saw Pat Metheny last night, and he was doing all kinds of. Oh, yeah. He was amazing. I mean, okay. I'd never seen him before. He's like a legend of jazz and fusion. And he did this one song. Yeah. He did this one song that was like in 5, and then it would go to 6, and then it was like kind of in 13, and it would come back to 5. And I was like, this is kind of amazing that he's making it so fluid. So I found myself like counting through that whole song, you know, like, so I love that when people use.
I'll give it to you. Here, I opened a page on one, the polar bear and the Candy Williams in the Arctic dancing. So it goes from 9-8, dot, 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 to 7-8, dot, 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 to 4-4, ta, ba, 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 to 7-8, dot, 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 dot. 4-4 again, 7-8, 5-8, 3-4, 9-8, 3-4.
See, and I knew that. That is why I asked the question. You're like, it doesn't seem like I would do it. Of course. But I mean, that's what's cool. Yeah. Let me ask you a question about this, because this is a selfish question. How do you compose in those times and make it fluid? Because that's like always, I do stuff in 7, I've done stuff in 11 and 5, but I always feel like that's the hardest part, is to connect them in a fluid way.
Yeah, sometimes I have a rhythmic scheme, like in my opera, that was based on, I can't even remember now. I had a method to my madness. It was the length of words that I was doing musically or something, whatever. But that was very set. And because it was a repeating pattern, it sort of made sense. For this, the idea of those shifting meters, because if everything's in 4-4, it becomes very static. So right. A lot of it is, it's, you know, how do you feel? And it depends what the harmony is too. Because if the harmony changes to this, you want to stay on it longer.
Yeah.
If it goes to this harmony, oh no, that doesn't need to be as long. So it's sort of, it's about that idea of progression. Again, you know, harmonic progression. Oh my goodness, I sound like a music professor.
No, but I love, this is the stuff I love. And also I have another question. So if you're composing for a polar bear.
Yeah.
Are you using lower like frequency instruments for those compositions? Oh, is it a mix depending on what's happening to the polar bear? Like
the polar bear, it's dee 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 in guitars, very like sort of very icy,
dainty.
And then there's he's a dainty polar bear.
Okay.
And then there's some harmonics on. Well, this is a violin, but harmonics on the cello, and then the clarinet comes in with this sort of melody that sort of hovers above all of it.
That's awesome. This sounds so exciting. I'm coming to the show on Saturday. I don't know if you got my text, but I'm coming on Saturday. I want you to tell people, where can people find tickets for this, and tell us exactly the show dates and where. You said Fado Do, but tell us the time. Tell people where they can find tickets.
Okay. So first of all, you can buy tickets at our website, which is playwithsprung.com. And it's for a show called My Birthday Party. And the address of Fado Do is 5253 West Adams Boulevard. So it's between Fairfax and La Brea, approximately. And opening night, I have to tell you about our opening night. Every night we have a different sort of surprise guest. So on opening night, our celebrity surprise guest is Thelma Houston.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's going to be singing Don't Leave Me This Way. So we're going to turn
it cool.
A little bit of a disco for a moment. We even have a disco ball. And on the weekend, we have Christine Deaver, who's this amazing comedian actor. She goes by the Countess of Fabuloso. And next week, we have surprise guests. Well, we're releasing their names at the beginning of next week.
That's amazing. And the run is only 2 weeks, correct?
Yeah, 2 weekends. So Friday and Saturday nights are at 8 o'clock, and the Sunday shows are matinee. So on Mother's Day, if you feel like bringing your mom, come on down.
Well, I'm going to see it on Saturday. That would be amazing if I came back to back. But yeah, you never know.
I love your
maybe
mom.
Maybe I'll send my folks and just say, hey, you need to go see this. They would like that. They dig that kind of stuff. You know, it's like they love music, and they're the ones that took me to my first Cirque show. So they're all about it. So I'll definitely mention it to them. Tell me, what is the thing that you want people to come away with after seeing this show?
Just happiness and joy. You know, just, you know, when you've had the biggest laugh with someone and you're just so, you've got that glow and you're just, oh, that, or you eat something that tastes really good and you just have that feeling of, oh, satisfaction. I think that's what we want. Just something that's joyful.
And I love that.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Veronica, I am so excited to see this show on Saturday. I will be there. And I, unlike some of your classes, I will be there on time. Those classes were 8 a.m. to my favorite. I mean,
that was the last century. It's I've forgotten about it already.
Thank God, because I am usually late for all those morning classes, but I will be there on time on Saturday night. Check out Veronica's show this weekend and next weekend. What it's called, playwithsprung.com. Is that right?
The website is playwithsprung.com, and the show is called My Birthday Party.
Don't miss My Birthday Party this weekend and next weekend. Check out playwithsprung.com for tickets. On behalf of Veronica, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. I'm excited to see the show myself. And Veronica, lots of love to you. I'm so excited to see you on Saturday, regardless if it's your birthday or not. It's going to be a good time. And thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. I love featuring your works, and you have an open window to keep coming back. So keep on creating, okay?
Thank you.
Of course. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Take care. Peace, love, and hair grease.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.